Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Well, another big week, a big Donald Trump week, a big protest week. Everything we see on TV, everything we read in the newspapers, everything has to do with Trump, Trump, Trump. I'm sick of hearing about Trump. I've got to believe most of you, if not all, are sick about hearing about Trump. So I've opted to start my show tonight with two items that are nowhere near anything involving Donald Trump. You may not find them amusing. I'm not asking that you do, but it's a change of pace. And then we're going to get into Donald heavy. Tonight, we're going to start with Hollywood, then Rome, Italy, China, Florida, Saudi Arabia, Minneapolis, Buffalo, Los Angeles, and Germany. Do you remember Looney Tunes cartoons? Looney Tunes cartoons. Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd, Daffy Duck. I remember them. My God, back in the late 30s, we used to go to the movies every Saturday. And one of the features was Looney Tunes cartoons. And there was, Bugs Bunny being chased by Elmer Fudd. And Elmer Fudd shooting his gun off trying to get Bugs Bunny. Well, it's Looney Tunes is coming back. Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd are coming back. HBO is rebooting the show. They already started last week. You can catch it. I don't know one night. I wasn't able to catch it on HBO with a, as described by HBO, a liberal alteration. What they did was instead of Fudd, Elmer Fudd, chasing Bugs Bunny with a gun and shooting at him, the gun's gone. Or, you know, we live in a society that would like to eliminate guns, I think. And instead, they've got Elmer Fudd chasing Bugs Bunny with a scythe. Do I pronounce it correctly? S-C-Y-T-H-E, scythe. And if you don't know, a scythe is, it's a long pole vertically. Then at the top, it has like a metal knife, quite long also going out. And you use it to cut down shrubbery and tall grass by swinging it. You also would see it New Year's Eve. The old man carrying the scythe, walking with a little boy in a diaper who was holding his hand, the little boy being New Year's Eve. New Year, the new New Year's, and the old man being the old year. Anyhow, that's the story about Looney Tunes. I'm going to look forward to it this week. Maybe it's my old age, but I'm back into cartoons. Now, we're going to talk about Nero. Remember Nero? Nero fiddled while Rome burned, okay? Well, we're going back to the 60s A.D., and I'm going to be zeroing in soon on 68 A.D. To place it in perspective, Jesus Christ died at 33 A.D., so we're in the ball game here. Now, the big saying is he fiddled while Rome burned. Well, he didn't fiddle. Historians 100% will tell you that, number one, he wasn't in Rome. He didn't know the town was burning down, allegedly. He was at his summer place 35 miles outside of Rome. The other story or feature that sort of eliminates he fiddled while Rome was burning, that the fiddle, that musical instrument, had not been invented yet in 68 A.D. It did not exist, so he could not have been fiddling. Now I want to take you to this day, today's date, in the year 60 A.D. Nero was in trouble. He wanted to commit suicide. The Senate had imposed, they had sentenced him to death. Because they didn't like what the hell he was doing, whatever it was, but they imposed the death sentence on him, and it was death by flogging. Well, flogging must have been very painful and took a while to put one under or kill someone. And Nero did not want to go via flogging. So what he did was he talked to his secretary, Epaphroditos. That's it. And guess what? Epaphroditus slit his throat with a knife. That's the way he went. He had his throat slit because it's quicker and less painful than flogging. Now, he deserved anything he got, whether it's slit my throat, flog me, hang me, bury me up to my neck, stone me to death. Here are some of the nice things that Nero is guilty of during his lifetime. He killed his mother. Can you imagine anyone killing their mother? All right. The Great Fire of Rome that I talked about in my opening here, some think he was responsible in the sense he had other people start it, because Rome was really a bunch of wood shacks. He wanted to build a stone capital for the Roman Empire, and he wanted to rebuild the city of Rome. In order to do so, he had to get rid of what was there, and he had the fire started, but there's no proof of that either. But a third of it did get rebuilt as a result of the fire. Now, sort of like Donald Trump, he had to have someone to blame, so he blamed the Christians. He blamed the Christians, and he made them the scapegoats. What he did, had them tied to stakes, and he burned them, or he buried them alive. He either burned them or buried them alive. And he was motivated not by justice, any sense of justice, because he also knew they weren't responsible, but he needed a scapegoat, but by personal cruelty. The man was cruel. He was the first persecutor of Christians. He had the apostles Paul and Peter put to death. He had Paul beheaded and Peter crucified upside down. So that's how today, on this day, Nero died, why he died, and a brief review of his terrible life. Donald Trump's time, my friends. I gave all of 7 minutes of the show to things not Trump. I have to go to Trump because there's so much Trump, and I won't get it all in. It was announced late this afternoon that the black steel fence that Trump had put up around the White House is coming down tomorrow. It's coming down tomorrow. The Park Service, the U.S. Park Service, will be taking it down. You know, look at all the money this guy wasted. I mean, he put up that fence. He had concrete barriers brought. The power he used, and this wasn't much money, but I got to put it in, to take the elevator down 5 floors below the street level of the White House so he could hide in the bunker for a while, because the Secret Service thought it was too dangerous for him to stay in the White House. The building might be attacked, okay? He brought in the Border Patrol from wherever. He brought in ICE from wherever. He brought National Guards in from, in the teens or in the 20s, states. He had the U.S. Army come in from certain areas. He had other divisions or whatever they are of the Army scheduled to fly in. He had Humvees brought in. He had jets brought in. He had helicopters, war helicopters, whatever they're called, brought in. He brought in guards from federal prisons. All these people to fight the protesters. And this whole thing, it took, 2 weeks, maybe 3 to resolve. And now everybody's going home. The Army's going home. The Border Patrol and ICE are still there. The fence is coming down. And who the hell else? He'll get everything out of there now. But what? It's had to be in the millions of dollars. There are people starving in this country. There are people who have not and are not working because of coronavirus. They can't afford food either. The prices of food have gone up where it's available. And he pisses money away on something like this because he doesn't know what he's doing. Please, any of you who are considering voting for the man, think twice. Don't. He is ruining this country. Realize it. He is destroying us as a nation. It isn't going to hurt me. I'm 84. I'll be gone who knows when, very soon probably. But what about our children? What about our grandchildren? Our grandchildren. What kind of a life are they going to have in this country? Which now brings me to China. It has, over the last 10 years, maybe 20 years, been considered that the two most powerful countries in the world were the United States and China. Normally, people said it was the United States was number one, but in the last few years, no one really knew. Is the United States one or two? Is China one or two? See, while we were fighting for 19 or 20 years, all these stupid wars, and did we win anything? Did we win any wars? Was something achieved by these wars? China was spending time improving their military. They put a ton of money into a new military. They have at least 200 more warships than we do. Most of their warships are brand new. Fewer of ours are. They have a new air force. They have planes that can travel farther than anything we've got. They have missiles that can fly further than anything we've got. They have built islands in the South China Sea. They have built islands in the water where nothing existed before. And on those islands, they have runways. They have for their airplanes and their missiles, because they take off from those runways with their airplanes, they can put those nuclear warheaded missiles anywhere in the world, including San Francisco and New York. Either end of our nation, they are equipped to do it. We can't do it to them yet, all right? Trump says we're the strongest nation in the world. I like to think so, but I don't think we are in reality. At the same time, Trump, instead of keeping China whatever degree of friendship or friend they were prior to his taking office, has totally alienated China, most countries in the world, against the United States. Now, China keeps saying, Xi, President Xi, he's my friend. I'm not worried. Then we get into this tariff war. The tariff war has hurt China, but the tariff war has hurt the United States more. Talk to the farmers from the Midwest. They'll tell you. These guys used to come down here. They all have homes here, it seems, in Key West. They were making money. Now they're not making money. Now they're borrowing from the bank. Some of the banks don't want to keep loaning them for a second year because they can't sell. They were selling everything to China. They can't sell anything to China because of the tariffs. All right? So that's that story there. In the meantime, recall, when Trump was running for office in 2016, running for president, he said, I'm going to bring business back to the United States. We have been taken advantage of for years. And, of course, he said China was the one screwing us for years, and they probably were financially. But everything was kumbaya. I'm sure we were screwing them in some other fashion. But Trump only understands dollars. But I can't believe we weren't, all right? You know, what you lose with the left hand, you get with the right hand, and so forth. Anyhow, one of the businesses he was going to bring back from China to the United States, and this business is very important to the state of Pennsylvania, was steel, steel production. China, whereas we used to be the big steel country, China had taken over and was the number one steel producer in the world, crude steel production. Well, even after he was elected, he says, 2 years ago he was saying when he'd go to Pennsylvania and make a speech somewhere, I'm going to bring it back. I'm bringing those jobs back here, okay? Well, here's the story, my friends. China is the world leader in crude steel production, number one. They were number one last year also, okay? In fact, they surged last year as they are surging this year. Where's the United States in crude steel production? We are number four in the world. We're not even number two. We were number four last year. India's number two. And it seems that we keep doing worse and worse. In the month of April alone, April this year, the United States crude steel production dropped 32%. Would you believe that? While China is still surging, while China is fighting coronavirus worse than we have in this country or had in this country and beating it down, okay, much better than we have been. In fact, everyone in the world is beating it down much better than we have, and you can't argue with that. And while they're fighting a semi-revolution in Hong Kong or a revolution in Hong Kong, whatever way you want to describe it, their crude steel production keeps going up and up and up. Yeah, they're smart. I don't care how you cut it, the Chinese are smart. In 2008, we had the recession. You remember the banks screwed us? All the people lost their homes on the mortgage foreclosures. In 2008, where there was a recession worldwide, a crisis, China made more crude steel than any other nation in the world. Their numbers went up in 2008. When the rest of the world was suffering, they still kept themselves number one when it came to crude steel production. If you look at a graph, and I did have the opportunity yesterday when I was working on this phase of the show to look at a graph of crude oil production in the world, what you see is China going straight up at a 45-degree angle on the graph. And, excuse me, the United States and everybody else dropping dramatically to the bottom of the graph and then turning into a straight line the rest of the way. He needs Pennsylvania to win the election. He's not going to win Pennsylvania because he is not helping the people of Pennsylvania. Okay, a president is a leader, and most people, forget Donald Trump, I'm talking in general. A president's a leader, and we have respect for our president, whether a Democrat or Republican. Once they're elected, they're our president. That's the way it is. And we generally listen to them. Whatever they say, we believe, we follow, because they have the best interests of the country at heart, even though we don't totally agree with them. So that's what's happening. Our president, now, people, he doesn't understand. People listen to him. Do you remember, what was it, a month ago? He was on his show every day. He did his Donald Trump show with regard to the coronavirus thing. And he said, because somebody had told him who worked for the government, a mid-level employee, we saw him that day for a half hour, never saw him again. He told Donald, and Donald believed him, that if you drink Clorox, remember, drink Clorox, in 5 minutes, I can still visualize Trump saying over television, in 5 minutes it kills the germ in your lungs. And he was excited. Because only an asshole like Trump would believe something like this. And you can use bleach in other ways, Clorox bleach and other disinfectants in other ways. Rub it on your body, and it'll help knock out the coronavirus if you have it. Well, then we found out it doesn't. Didn't take long because nobody really believed it except Donald Trump. And nobody believes it today, I'd like to say, but that's not true. Would you believe that on Friday, I think it was, the CDC issued a report that we have a problem in the United States, okay? Because a number of Americans, believing what Trump said to them, are misusing bleach, Clorox, bleach, in an effort to fight coronavirus. They're using bleach to wash their food. They're using it on their skin. They're spraying it on their bodies. And this is the best of all. I can't believe this. 4% of the people who use it for this purpose are using it to drink and gargle in the belief that it's going to keep them safe from coronavirus. Would you believe that? And who you got to blame? You got to blame that nut Donald Trump, because some of the people also who listen to him are crazy, and they would believe him because he's the president of the United States. So that's where we are with that. And I feel sorry for these people. Can you imagine drinking and gargling? Okay. Now, big day today. Big day today. In the year 2008. On this day, and I'm saying it slowly, because this was one of the worst days in American history. The price of gasoline, for the first time, went over $4 a gallon and stayed there for quite a while. $4 a gallon. Now, why did this happen? Who did this to us? OPEC. They were making money. They wanted to raise the price. And the leader of OPEC, by the way, is our very good friend, Saudi Arabia. They're with every president, just not Trump. Going all the way back to Ronald Reagan, Saudi Arabia has been our great friend. That we always suck up to Saudi Arabia because they control the bucks through OPEC, got to keep the price of gasoline reasonable. I don't know what the hell happened in 1980, but the price went in 2000, what was it, 1980, the price of gasoline, in 2008, I'm sorry, the retail price of gasoline rose about $4 a gallon. Understand, too, see, I don't like the Saudis. I've never liked them. I've never trusted them. I also believe that they were instrumental and influential in 9/11. I think 15 of the 19 persons, all Arabs, who participated in 9/11, knocking down the Twin Towers, declaring war in effect on the United States, killing almost 3,000 Americans, were residents of Saudi Arabia. 15 of the 19 were residents of Saudi Arabia. So I don't like these people. I can't help it. I don't like them. Now, let's talk about coronavirus, Florida. Our governor, DeSantis, this is his first year as governor, I describe him as a lapdog for Donald Trump. Trump says, jump. He asks how high, then he jumps. He has followed Trump to the letter. When he ran his gubernatorial campaign, he ran it as Trump would run it, and he was 1,101% sided with Trump on every issue out there. Trump recognizes him as an excellent governor. In fact, I've got to say this. The state of Florida, because of the relationship between DeSantis and Trump, has benefited greatly during the virus crisis because we had the most ventilators, the most masks. We got everything. We overgot everything, all right, because DeSantis was Trump's man. But he's a puppet. Now, that's not the point I want to make right now. What I want to say is this. He reopened parts of Florida much too early. Fortunately, here in Key West, we have a mayor. She's a hard-ass Mayor Johnson, and we just reopened on June 1st, partially. Anyhow, last week, okay, in 1 week, the number of new confirmed coronavirus cases increased by 46%. In 1 week, an increase in new people coming down with the virus, it increased by 46%. Now, DeSantis says, well, it had to. After all, we have increased testing. Absolutely no question. He says he's doing 30,000 people a day, whereas before he was doing 10,000. I don't know where the hell he got all the test kits before. We couldn't get I look at New York State. Poor New York was getting clobbered. They couldn't do 10,000 tests a day because they didn't have the testing kits. He had them here. But anyhow, he says, well, it's the increased testing. If you have increased testing, you're going to come up with increased cases. That's what affects the numbers. Remember several months ago, Trump on TV again on his show around lunchtime or later in the day about the virus. He said, this I thought was the stupidest statement in the world, but very few people caught on to what he was saying. He said, if you test too much, your numbers go up. It's better if you don't test, because then your numbers stay down. Can you believe that? You want to know. You need to know what the numbers are so you can deal with the enemy. He don't want to know because it'll make him look bad, he thinks, because the number of infected people will rise. That 46%, by the way, in 1 week equates to 1,000 new cases a day over a 7-day period. And I got to say this, too. Last Friday, the state of Florida entered stage two, okay, of reopening. Whatever stage two is, the federal guidelines, we entered stage two. Key West was open this weekend for the first time. I haven't been out. I've quarantined myself. This is my 90th day. I'm 84. I've got a bad heart. I'm not going to screw around. And it hasn't been bad. I read and I write, and it keeps me busy all day. But it opened. We knew what was going to happen. Some locals would be out. But in this season, this time of the year, we get a lot of people from Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa. They drive down here because the hotel prices are cheap and the restaurants are cheap. It's a great place to come. It's at least half price, if not better. And we knew they'd come, and they came. Not as many as we thought, from what I understand. I've talked to people on the phone. I talk to people every day who are out and about in the community. And they told me there were enough people. They were out, not as many as expected. The restaurants weren't as crowded, but the bars were crowded. Not all the bars and restaurants opened, by the way. The owners decided not to open. The bars that opened, the people, I was told, were shoulder to shoulder, no social distancing, okay, no masks, hugging, kissing, and laughing. In 4 to 6 weeks, guaranteed, we're going to have a big number here in the Key West. And the state of Florida is going to have bigger numbers because they opened too early, as seen by this 46% increase. This defund police move, this needs a lot of attention. This needs a lot of talking about. I'm for it. I don't call it defunding. It's a reorganization. You've got to approach things differently. We've been approaching crime and police enforcement the same way for 150 years. Time to change. Time to look at it and make certain changes. Well, some people are moving too fast. The Minneapolis City Council President, Minneapolis City Council President said, and I quote, she aspires to have a police-free society. You can't have a police-free society because if you do, you're going to have a criminal-rich society. Don't think that all people are honest. Don't think if you do away with the cops, people won't be stealing. People won't be raping. People won't be hurting families. Committing violent acts. It's going to happen. You still need police enforcement. It's just that you don't have them doing as much. We have to take some of the crimes and make them civil problems and have them treated socially. So we've got to give it study. Let me tell you, it can be done and it should be done, but not just get rid of it like that. And it isn't going to happen just like that. Okay, I only got about 45 seconds left, so I'm not going to rush. I got so many things more I'd like to talk about tonight. That 75-year-old man who got knocked down in Buffalo by the police who were running towards him, his head hit the ground. He bled from his head, and nobody stopped. Trump, our dear, I'm going to call him asshole president, said today that the man was faking, and it was Antifa, A-N-T-I-F-A, that group who were behind them. Antifa is not organized. They're people who believe in something. They don't have a headquarters. They don't have a president, a chairman of the board. But he says this guy was faking. And we saw it all. It was on video. Okay, that's the show for this week. Someday I'm going to get done with everything I had here. I always overproduce, worrying that someday I'm not going to have enough material. Keep your eyes and ears open. Listen to this police defunding thing closely. It should be done, but it has to be done properly. And eventually we're going to get through this whole thing. We're going to get through Donald Trump. We're going to get through coronavirus, and we'll all be happy again. Enjoy your week. It's been good being with you.